461. Let's sing.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye till Canaan fair and happy land where my possession lies. We will rest in the fair and happy land just across on the evergreen shore, sing the songs of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. All those wide extended plans shine on the eternal day. There gone the sun forever, bring and scatter nights away. We will rest in the and happy land just across on the evergreen shore, sing the songs of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and will Jesus evermore. Fill with delight my raptured soul, one here no longer I stay. The Jordan waves around me roll fearless, touch away. We will rest in the fair and happy land just across on the evergreen shore, sing the songs of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and well with Jesus evermore. We will rest in the fair and happy land just across on the green shore, sing the songs of Moses and the Lamb by and by.
Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the second scripture that was read from Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. From this passage, we want to talk to you this evening using as the specific title of our lesson simply an exclamation from an unnamed woman. An exclamation from an unnamed woman. Luke 11, 27 and 28. We'll reference the other scripture from Matthew chapter 12 a little bit later. But for the time being, Luke 11, 27 and 28. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. This woman, after listening to Jesus and discerning the greatness of Jesus, was just filled with a spirit of enthusiasm and excitement to the point that it seemed she could not contain herself any longer. She felt compelled to speak up, and she uttered the exclamation and affirmation that is contained in the first verse of our text. The Bible speaks of her as a certain woman, anonymous. We don't know her name. We don't know who she was. We don't know where she came from. As far as we know, she's anonymous. She's a nameless person. But for some reason, God decided to include this episode of her life in the gospel record. Luke is the only one of the gospel writers to mention this incident of the nameless woman. Really, people don't need to know who you are in order for you to be recognized by God or used by God. There are a number of persons throughout sacred literature that are not named. For instance, we can go over to John chapter 9. This is one of the most notable and remarkable miracles Jesus performed. But the man on whom he performed the miracle was nameless. The record says, starting with verse 1 of John chapter 9, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" In this entire narrative of this extraordinary experience of the healing of a blind man, his name is not mentioned at all. That lad back three chapters earlier, who surrendered his lunch to the Lord so that he could feed 5,000 plus, remains nameless. A wonderful example for men and women who want to live for the Lord and sacrifice and serve for generations unborn. But we don't know this man's name. We look at Acts chapter 3, and we are familiar with the case of the lame man who was brought and sat daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful. He simply described in verse number 2, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried." We don't know who he was. We don't know what his name was. But that's not important. God demonstrated his mighty power through the apostles in blessing and healing this man. And that's all that really is important. Then over in the neighborhood of our text, not far from it, in Luke chapter 13, the Bible says, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And we're just talking about the anonymity of people, nameless folk in the Bible. Luke 13 and verse 11, and behold, there was a woman. Who was she? We don't know. There was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto him, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. What woman? This woman, the crooked woman, the woman all bent over, that's the woman. What's her name? We don't know. It's not important what her name was, who she was. As far as we are concerned, she was simply a nameless woman. You know, there are a lot of folk in the church, for all practical purposes, they're nameless. I'm not saying they don't have names, but a lot of folks don't know their names or don't recognize their names or don't attach any particular significance to their names or associate their names with any meaningful accomplishments or any meaningful degree of greatness. They're just quiet and unassuming, but many times they make very positive contributions to the work of the Lord. That was a nameless woman I mentioned just recently. The story is told of congregation, small church, back in the olden days. They took up the regular Lord's Day contribution, and the preacher and one of the deacons went back in the back to count the money. And as they were counting the money, they spotted a $100 bill in the collection tray. And the preacher said to the deacon, he said, do you see this $100 bill? And the deacon said, yes. The preacher said, whoever put this in here undoubtedly, they must have put this $100 in here by accident. Surely they didn't put $100 in here on purpose. We've never had anybody put a $100 bill in the collection plate. They must have intended to put a dollar bill in there. And so the deacon said, I see your point, you know, said, we never have had anybody before to put a $100 bill in the collection plate. I guess we need to go ahead and try to find out who put this $100 bill in here by accident so we can give it back to them. So they agreed that they would go ahead and make the announcement before the congregation. And so the preacher got up after they finished counting the money. He said, we have an announcement to make. He said, we were counting the money, and we found a $100 bill in the collection plate. And we know that whoever put it in there must have put it in there by accident. And we want you to know that we're willing to give you your $100 back. So if you put the $100 bill in the collection plate, up to that time, the lady was nameless. I mean, the person who put it in there, will you please raise your hand? And you can claim it. And so a young lady in the back raised her hand. And the preacher said, okay, ma'am, you put the $100 bill in the collection tray. And she said, yes, I did. And she did put the $100 bill in there. She said, I did it on purpose. I didn't put it in there by accident. I intended to put that $100 bill in the collection plate. If they had not made that announcement, nobody would have ever known that she put that $100 bill in the collection plate. She didn't want it broadcast. She didn't feel it important that people knew who she was or what she had done. So she, before they called her out, was a nameless person. This woman, we don't know who she was. Over in the book of Luke, it just says, a certain woman. That's the person, a certain woman. This was not just your ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill woman. This person was passionate. She was excited. When was the last time you got excited? When was the last time you really got excited and had kind of a case of can't help it-itis? just had to say something. This woman, this person was passionate. Notice, she lifted up her voice and said unto him, she was so impressed with Jesus. She was so taken with Jesus that she just had to say something to him. She knew a great man when she saw him. She knew a good man when she saw him. She knew a godly man when she saw him. She knew a powerful man when she saw him. And this person of passion made a powerful proclamation. She felt like she just had to say it. She lifted up her voice and said unto him, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked." What was she saying? You see, this woman in the crowd was so caught up in Jesus's teaching and presence, she just exclaimed that a woman who could bear one like Jesus was to be blessed. Blessed is the womb that bare you. Man, I bet your mama is so proud of you. Oh, what a great mama you have. The woman who bore you into the world, man, she must be some kind of woman. Blessed. Blessed is the woman that brought you into the world. That was her proclamation. But what was the response of Jesus? Jesus took her proclamation and placed it in proper perspective. But, and this but contrasts what she was thinking, her view of reality, and what Jesus was about to share with her in setting forth the proper perspective. But he said, she said, "Blessed is the womb that bare you and the paps that you have sucked, or the breasts at which you have nursed." That's what she said. But he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Isn't that wonderful? Notice what Jesus said, the significance of it in giving the proper perspective. There, and see if you can wrap your mind around this concept and idea that Jesus here articulates. There is a greater blessing than what even Mary had. Can you imagine that? Imagine a greater blessing than being able to testify that one had given birth to Jesus. Can you imagine that? Look real quick with me over to Luke chapter 2. Over to Luke chapter 2. Let's look at verse number 26. Reference is made to Elizabeth, who was in her sixth month of pregnancy with John the Baptist. And the Bible says in verse 26, rather Luke chapter 1, not chapter 2, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. John has already been conceived. John is in the gestational period in his mother's womb. 6 months along she is. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God with us unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. I want you to underlined version, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Oh, Mary was a wonderful young lady. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee." I want you to get this. "Blessed art thou among women." Just think of all of the women that populated the known world at that particular point in history. Mary, by the sovereign finger of God, was singled out to be the woman by whom Christ would make his advent into the world. Mary is spoken of as being highly favored. Isn't it wonderful? Wouldn't you like to be highly favored? "Blessed art thou among women. The Lord is with thee." Okay, she's highly favored. The Lord is with her. And she is pronounced to be blessed among women. And continuing to read, "When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Wouldn't you like to find favor with God? Do you have favor with God? Say, "Mary, don't be afraid. There's nothing to be scared of. You have found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And bless Mary's heart. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm pure, Lord. How can I have a child? How can I be pregnant? How can I get pregnant?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." And in verse 37, he says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now I want you to emphasize, and I want you to italicize, and I want you to embolden, and I want you to underline what Mary said. She says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." In other words, she's saying, "I'm at your service. Whatever you want me to do, I'm at your service. However you want to use me, I'm at your service. I'm available. Tell me what you want me to do. I trust you. I'll obey you. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. She went down and spent some time with her cousin Elizabeth. Now, Brother Jones, why did you go over there and read that? No, I want you to know that Mary was highly favored among women, that God was with her, and that she was blessed of God. God selected her from all of the women on the earth to birth his son into the world. But even so, and Jesus was not discounting Mary's significance or undermining Mary's greatness by the affirmation as he placed her proclamation in proper perspective. She said, that is the nameless woman, she said, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yes, rather. This is what you need to really look at. Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So now Mary was blessed because Mary was selected by God. But this applies to Mary too. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Mary heard it. And Mary kept it. She said, be it according to me, according to your word. I'm going to live in keeping with your word. I'm going to be obedient to my God. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to abide by the law. I'm going to keep the commandments. So Mary qualifies under the criterion that Jesus establishes. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. As a matter of fact, her hearing the word of God and keeping it was a necessary prerequisite to her being chosen in the first place to be the mother of Jesus. And why do you think she was chosen? Because she respected the word of God. She honored the word of God with obedience. She lived in keeping with the requirements and mandates of the law. Lord, they're saying, that's a nice little girl right there. That's a cute little girl. I think I'll get her to bring my son into the world. He looked at Mary's heart. For the Lord seeth, not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. He saw Mary's heart. He saw Mary's character. He saw Mary's value system. Mary's principles that guided her life were predicated upon the word of God that she had heard and she had kept. Therefore, she was highly favored. Therefore, God was with her. Therefore, she was blessed among women. Oh, that we can emphasize the importance of this among young women today and young mothers to be today. Conduct yourself in such a way that you too can be highly favored. You too can be assured of the presence of God. You too can be assured of being blessed of God. The greatest thing any mama can do is to hear the word of God and obey it. And the next greatest thing she can do is to teach her children the word of God that they might obey it. That's more important, hearing the word of God and doing it. That's more important. It's a greater blessing than being able to testify that one had given birth to Jesus. You see, the thing that enabled her to give birth to Jesus, again, I emphasize the fact that she had heard the word of God and kept it. That's why she was who she was. That's why she arrested God's attention. That's why she was selected. Jesus puts this thing in the proper perspective. After 8 days, later on over in Luke chapter 2, according to the mandates of the law, they circumcised Jesus. She had heard the word of God, she and Joseph, and they kept it. The offering that was required, they followed the mandates of the law. Later on in chapter 2, they went to Jerusalem every year for the Passover. They did that because they heard the word of God and kept it. But you can experience the very same blessing that she experienced, the same blessedness, the same approval, the same being highly favored that she experienced. All you have to do, you don't have to turn back through the dusty pages of history or rewind history in order to be where she was. Right now, at any time, you can begin to hear the word of God and do it. An exclamation of an unnamed woman. Mary was a good mother. You don't have to question whether she was a good mother or not. You don't have to doubt whether she was a good mother or not. You don't have to doubt or question whether she was a good woman or not. God wouldn't have selected her otherwise. In Matthew chapter 12, the same lesson is affirmed in a different context as we close. Notice Matthew chapter 12. Verses 46 through 50. Jesus been teaching. Verse 46 says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Mary is here now. Aunt Mary is right here. Then one said to him, behold, your mother and your brethren stand without. They want to talk to you. Jesus seizes this as a great teachable moment. He answered and said unto him that told him, hey, who is my mama? Who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. And then verse 50 caps it off. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Wait a minute. Am I hearing this right? To be a sister to Christ? You mean I have an opportunity, Arthur, to be a brother to Christ? Sister Mays, do I have the opportunity to be the mother of Christ? I thought he could only have one. I thought Mary was it. But anybody who hears the word of the Lord and obeys it is his brother, sister, or mother. In essence, what he's saying is the physical relationship I have with Mary, that's not what's most important. The fact that Mary brought me into the world, that's not what's most important. The most important thing which can bind me to anybody in kinship greater than that which bound me to Mary by virtue of her physically birthing me into the world, if you will obey the word of God, if you will learn the will of God and do it, you can experience a closer, a more significant relationship of kinship with me than Mary did just by virtue of her bringing Christ into the world. Whoever it is that hears the word and does it, you know, that's my brother. That's my sister. That's my mother. You want to be kinfolk to Jesus? Want to be in his family? You can be regarded as his mother. But you can't do it and be disobedient. You can't do it and reject God's word. You can't do it and be unfaithful. You want to be an authentic kin person of Jesus obey the word of God? If you are here this evening, you've not obeyed that word. You've not become a child of God. You've not become a New Testament Christian. Become one. Hear the word of God and do it. Hear the gospel of Christ and obey it. He loved you so much that he died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. And you know what? When he died for the sins of the entire world, you know he died for the sins of Mary too? He died for the sins of Sister Mary. Well, he died for Mary? Oh, you mean she sinned? Of course she sinned. She was not sinlessly perfect. She was a good woman. She obeyed the will of God, but she was a sinner. Jesus died for his mama, just like he died for you. He was buried. He arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day. Good news, mighty good news. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of all of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ as God's Son. Submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. Get up out of the water to rise and to walk in the newness of life. And keep on hearing and doing the will of God. Blessed are they that hear his word and keep it. Will you do that today? If you're here and you're already a child of God, but you hadn't been keeping the word, you've fallen by the wayside, you have exited from the tested path of truth, come back through repentance, confession, and prayer. Will you do it as we together stand and as we sing?
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary.
To share with us what he has resting on his heart.
Church, I've sinned and I've asked God to forgive me of those sins. Ask him to pray on my behalf. I might go stronger than he said, but ask him to do his will, whatever that will may be. I'd also like to ask the church to pray on behalf of some co-workers of mine that are going through some illnesses. Brother Greg Robinson.
We want to comply with his request. We ask you to bow with us at this time. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the wonderful example left by Mary, who was highly favored, who was blessed among women, who enjoyed your presence in being with her, who submitted herself willingly to your will, who lived in a manner that was consistent with your word. We're grateful to God that we can be blessed and favored by you when we hear your word and keep it, when we learn your word and do it. We're grateful for its power to impact and change our lives. We're thankful for the privilege of prayer. At this time, we come before your throne on behalf of Brother Larry Reese. We pray with him that you'll forgive him for whatever sin or sins he has committed. Hold them against him no longer. Cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. We pray also for his co-workers, Brother Robinson and Sister Smith. You know what they're going through. You know what their problems are. You know the things with which they are struggling. We pray that you will bless them in a way as to address their individual and particular needs. We know that you are concerned about all of us. We know that all power is in your hands. We pray that you look down upon those persons with beneficent mercy and provide for their needs. Be with all of us and help us to always strive to live in such a way that those who don't know you will want to know you because they know us and can see your Son reflected in our lives. It is in his name that we give thanks and pray. Amen.